beautiful day. It is going to be a busy day, going to be an exciting day. I'm been excited for it. Our play is tonight at 6 o'clock. Remember that? Our children and youth has been practicing hard for it, and it's going to be a great play. The reason I know is because Satan has tried everything he can do to stop it. We've had our Mary has got pneumonia, and our cow has got laryngitis or something. She can't hardly talk, so but we're going to go forward. It's going to be a good play. Excited about it. So remember tonight at 6 o'clock to come for our Christmas program. Invite your neighbors. Invite everybody. This play has an extremely great message. It is it's the gospel. It's the gospel's presented in it as plain as any play I've ever seen. And we've already had one who come to trust Christ from studying these parts. So no doubt that it was a play for us. If that one is all there is, it's worth everything we could ever do. So remember that and be praying much for them as they put our play on tonight. And I appreciate the ones who has worked with them, who's put the effort in them to do this. If you've ever done that before, you know it's stressful. It can tempers can get to flaring and everything. So it's hard time. It's a great time, but it's a stressful time on those leading it. So remember them, pray for them, and just excited to have it tonight. Also happening tomorrow, now I know I usually do announcements at the end, I'm going to do it both times so I don't forget. Our Christmas parade will be tomorrow. This thing, we've got a float that's been over at Jonathan's, I think, about 2 years now. And that thing does not want to be seen. I mean, the weather, it's done everything from snow to flood. But Lord willing, it's going to be seen tomorrow night. If you or your children desire to ride on it, if you would meet at the, we're going to meet after church and talk about who's going to ride on the float. We need 6 volunteers to walk beside it. So be thinking about that during service, not while I'm preaching, but for just a few minutes, be thinking about if you want to walk beside it. We need those volunteers. We need people to ride on it, children to ride on it. Many of our children ride in other places. So if yours is available to ride on it, we would love to have them. And of course, if you desire to walk, we would love to have you do that. And we'll be meeting at the nursing home about 5:30, I think it is, but still the same time, just this Monday. So we'll meet at the nursing home about 5:30 to get ready to line up and go. So would love to have you come out and be a part of that. And many prayer requests throughout our communities. It's a Christmas time. We know people's at families this morning in different areas. People's traveling, and we've got several sick and different things going on. So I ask you to remember them, and just pray for those who desire to be here but they can't. Pray for their families, and just remember those that lost loved ones. There's people in our communities that has lost loved ones. Obviously, we'll be having a funeral here today, right before the Christmas play. So it's going to be a busy day. So do we have any other prayer requests where we can get started and get this day going forward? Any more prayer requests? Okay, remember that. A couple funerals going on in our community today. Pray for those families. Any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this service this morning. God, we ask most of all that you be in it. Lord, we know that the enemy desires to stop anything we try to have, we try to do for you. Lord, we ask this time that you just give us the strength to go forward. We know you've already won the battle. God, there's little skirmishes we have to go through. And Lord, give us faith to continue in you. And Lord, I ask you to be with our services this morning. God, just touch me as I preach, touch our singers as they sing, touch every soul in this place. God, open their hearts, open their minds to receive your word. And Father, as we come upon this time of year that we celebrate the birth of your son, we want to give you thanks right now for sending him to die in our place so we don't have to. And God, we thank you so much for that. And Lord, I ask there's one on the sound of my voice that doesn't know you this morning that they will before we leave this place. And God, if not before we leave, they will before they go to sleep tonight. Lord, we ask you to touch those prayer requests that's been made known. God, those families that's lost loved ones, we ask you to be near and dear to them. Those that are sick, different things, God, we ask you to heal their bodies back to their much-wanted health. And God, we ask a special prayer tonight for our play as our youth will be putting this play on. As there'll be family here that doesn't usually attend church or may have never heard your word preached or taught, Lord, we pray that these young ones, as they proclaim the gospel through this play, that you'll open hearts and open minds, that your spirit will draw those next to you. And God, we promise that seeds will be planted. Even if we don't see any fruit tonight, God, we pray that seeds are planted or seeds are watered. And Lord, we ask that you just bless this mightily, for we do it in the name of Jesus, for in his name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we projected, a child in a manger?
Their homes. Thank you.
Amen. Appreciate that singing this morning. Lori handed me that microphone. I thought she wanted me to help Corey. Thought we might as well just let him do it. Good to see everyone out this morning. Excited about today. We're looking forward to it. And this message today is one that's almost like what you would call a bubblegum sermon. You keep chewing on this thing, it's more than you can handle. It keeps growing and growing. And I've had a lot of information this morning. My little binder thing won't hardly hold it all. I'm not going to try. I'm trying to weed it down up there to make this fit in the time limit we have. But the title of today's message is The Night Before Christmas. The Night Before Christmas. We've all heard that poem or children's song, whatever you want to call it, throughout the years. But truly before the first Christmas, there was a true dark time. More than we probably ever realized. There was darkness really all over the whole land, just almost like it was in Genesis before the creation was made. It was a dark time. If you have ever studied much about that, you'll know that Rome was in power. And we probably don't know a lot today in our, maybe if you study history, maybe you know more than I do, but the Roman Empire was far-reaching. And the Jewish people had become under their rule, as we know that God's desire was for them to be ruled by their own people, but because they desired a king, this come on down to where they was at this point in history. And I printed out a little thing I want to read you just a little bit. It says, the Roman Empire at the time of the birth of Christ, upwards of a quarter of a century before the birth of Christ, the grandnephew of Julius Caesar had become sole master of the Roman world. Never perhaps at any former period had so many human beings acknowledged the authority of a single person. Some of the most powerful monarchies at present are present in Europe extended over only a fraction of the territory which Augustus governed. He governed the Atlantic on the west, the Euphrates on the east, the Danube on the Rhine, and the Rhine on the north, and the deserts of Africa on the south were the boundaries of his empire. We do not adequately estimate the rank of Augustus among contemporary sovereigns when we consider merely the superficial extent of the countries placed within the range of his jurisdiction. His subjects probably formed more than one-third of the entire population of the globe and amounted to about 100 million souls. His empire embraced within its immense circumference the best cultivated and most civilized portions of the earth. The remains of its populous cities and great fortresses, its extensive aqueducts, and its stately temples may still be pointed out as memorials of his grandeur. The capital was connected with the most distant provinces by carefully constructed roads, along with legions, which that's a lot of armies, could march with ease and promptitude either to quell an internal insurrection or to encounter an invading enemy. And there's many other pages to this, but I flip back to the back page because even in the dark times that God was providing or that God was allowing to happen, a light was on the horizon. Light was coming, and the Bible is plain in what teaches. God was preparing a time for the Messiah. Yes, the darkness was here, but a time of great light was about to come upon the scene. The last page of this is, even in the consolidation of so many nations under one government, tended the furtherance of the gospel. Listen to this. For the gigantic roads which radiated from Rome to the distant region of the east and west facilitated the intercourse, and the messengers of the Prince of Peace could travel from country to country without suspicion, without passports. And well might the Son of God be called the desire of all nations. Though the wisest of the pagan sages could not have described the renovation which the human family required, and though when the Redeemer actually appeared, he was despised and rejected of men, there was withal a widespread conviction that a Savior was required, and that there was a longing for deliverance from the evils which oppressed the society. The ancient superstitions were rapidly losing their hold on the affection and confidence of the people, and while the light of philosophy was sufficient to discover the absurdities of the dwelling polytheism, it failed to reveal any more excellent way of purity and comfort. The ordinances of Judaism were waxing old and ready to vanish away, were types which were still unfilled, and though they pointed out the path to glory, they required an interpreter to expound their import. This great teacher now appeared. He was born in a very humble circumstances, and yet he was the heir of an empire beyond comparison, more illustrious than that of the Caesars. There was given him dominion and glory in a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. You see, and even in the dark times of Rome, God was preparing a time for light. He was getting it fixed so Jesus could come. He even used that old Caesar to make great roads that Jesus could travel on. He made a way for the light to get out into the dark world. And boy, it's just amazing how God did that time. But today, for just a few minutes, I want you to think about this night before Christmas. If you turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter number 9, he enlightens us a little bit about what was going on here. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as wax was in her vexation, when at first the lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation in knowing and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressors in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, ever and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Father, we thank you for this scripture today. God, we thank you for sending your precious Son, God, and at this time of year, we get to celebrate him, and we get to rejoice in the fact that we no longer have this darkness that was upon this time, that God, a great light has come into our midst. And Father, I pray this morning that if we have one in this midst that is in this darkness, that God, you will send the Spirit of God to pull their heart towards you, that you'll begin to enlighten that dark soul. They may see the true light, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we ask you today that we're here for no other reason than uplift the name of Jesus. For everything we do is in his name, for his glory. In his name we ask it. Amen. You see, it truly was a dark time. I want you to think about this. If you've ever studied your Bible very much, you understand that Malachi was the last prophet to write in the Old Testament. Actually, if you study a little further, you'll find that John the Baptist actually was the last prophet. But in the Old Testament here, Malachi was the last one to write about what was going on and to what was to come. And after Malachi said what he said in the Scriptures, you close the Bible up and you turn over another page, and 400 years have went by. 400 years of silence has moved from the time that Malachi wrote in this book, or the words of Malachi in our Bible. And I want you to think about this. Can you imagine being in a nation or being in a land where for 400 years the Word of God has not been heard? We think we live in a dark time, people. We think we're in a dark time. We think things are bad, and no doubt you can make it out that way. Depends on if you're optimist or pessimist, whatever you call them things. Glass half full, half empty, however you want to look at it. But I tell you this morning, we are nowhere close to being in the darkness that there was in those 400 years of silence. Think about today. If all of a sudden all the preachers had to be quiet, all the television stations couldn't talk about Jesus or the Word of God, all the radio stations couldn't talk of God, then nothing, no longer was it legal to talk about God for 400 years. Can you even imagine what state this nation would be in? Whether you realize it or not, God is still in control of this thing. God's light is still shining in the world. It's shining through you. It's supposed to be shining through us. And if it's not, it's our fault. But I tell you, in today's times, there is still light in this world. At this point of history, there wasn't much light at all in those 400 years. They hadn't been a word from God. Now, I tell you, Psalms 119, 105, listen to this. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Unless the Word of God is taught and preached and is ingrained in us, people, I want to tell you something. We will be in darkness. It's a human nature to go towards darkness. Have you ever realized that whenever you're doing something wrong, you want to be in the darkness? When you're doing something bad, you want to be in the darkness. I remember when I was a young fella, and before I come to know the Lord, I would go to these places that you don't want to go. You don't want to find your mama find you out being there. And you know what I found? In those places, there was never a great light such as we have in this building. There was never a fluorescent light put up over all those bars and all those things. You know what it was? You walked in and you couldn't even see who was next to you because the place was dark. It's natural to us, our sinful flesh, to want to be in the darkness. And I want you to think about this. is that light. That light only comes from the Word of God. If you go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, you'll see that when this thing all began, there was complete darkness. And the Bible says something. It says that the Spirit of God moved upon the darkness. And when the Spirit of God moved, guess what that means? That means God is present. And I want to challenge you to find something. I challenge you to find a part where God is in the midst and there's any darkness at all. The Bible says that He is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of darkness and moved upon this dark land that was nothing as yet, God said, "Let there be light." And guess what happened? There was light. And then all that sudden, that thing come. And you see, scientists have been studying this all along, and they have come up with something that just marvels them, that they can't explain, that darkness does not exist. Darkness does not exist. Only the absence of light. There's no such thing as darkness, just a taking away of light is the absence of light. So when God moves upon the scene, there must be light. It's why it's impossible today, and I want you to listen to this, it's impossible for a child of God to say he's a child of God and be living in complete darkness. Now, don't get me wrong, you can fall into darkness. It can become something you trip and you fall into, but a child of God cannot and will not live in total darkness. There must be a conviction, there'll be a pulling out of that thing. You cannot walk very long in darkness at all because the Spirit of God is indwelling you. He cannot, He will not stay in darkness because He is complete light. He's complete light. I want you to think about those people that were there for 400 years, not a word from God. You know what you've been thinking? He surely has deserted us. He wants nothing to do with us. I've heard those old ones talk about God, and it had been passed down about the great things God did for us Jews. Can you imagine the stories that was told of all the great things He done? And all those people for 400 years said, "Well, I don't know about that. I've never seen Him. I've never seen this happen." Now think about your own time. How many of y'all can remember a time when your grandparents told you about a great move of God in the land? I can remember that, and I wasn't even raised in church. I can remember people talking about when people relied on God. When they'd plant their crops, they'd come to the house of God and they'd pray. I remember one person that was in Concord Church. When we first got involved, they told about how a drought had came. And Brother Wisner, that lived down there at Wisner's Bridge, close to where Kyle and Rebecca lived, they said, and I forget, I think it was in the 1920s, the river got so low that they could come out there, and he stopped the Tallapoosa River with his foot. A drought had came and there was no crops, there was nothing, and how they would walk up to the church to pray for rain. And they said what was better than that is some of them old heads who would come to pray, they'd bring their umbrellas with them. Think about that. Listen, that's relying on God, isn't it? That's having a faith in God. If you go to pray for rain, brother, you better bring your umbrella if you're serious about that thing, because He is about to answer. But these people are just like us today. It seems we're in a time of darkness, and no doubt there is some dark times ahead of us. But I want to tell you some good news today, that light is on the horizon. Light is on the horizon. How many of you have ever been in a real, real dark place? Now, I've never been in a dark place in a long time, physically speaking, but I am getting a little bit older. I'm about 21 now. Let me get out behind this. Does this count as a pulpit? I'm about 21 now, and I'm finding something, Rudy. When I go to read something, I need a little bit of light. I need a little bit of light so I can see. And I can't stand to be in the dark because I can't read a single thing. I can't see much, and I don't want nothing to do with darkness. Oh, if I could just get that same feeling in my spiritual life where I desire no darkness to be there at all. And you say, if I allow God to have His rightful place in my life, there will be no darkness. So listen, they had not heard a word from God in 400 years. Not a word. So what had happened about that? God's people, the Jews, were owned by Rome. Now that's what you might as well say. They was owned by Rome. You remember the Christmas story that Sister Kim read this morning about how that Caesar Augustus had called them all to be counted or to be taxed or whatever it was. It was all about the money. He desired to have this thing, and he desired to collect all the taxes he could and to get richer and the poor be more oppressed and more oppressed, and how the Jewish people felt that they was in such turmoil and the Romans was in rule over them and they just could not get ahead. And boy, don't we feel like that sometimes, that I just cannot get ahead. And how he called them here and he said, okay, we're going to call them all to be counted so we can do this. Listen, the chosen people of God was under an oppressive ruler, was under an oppressive ruler this time. This is God's people, the people who was called to be the people of God. They was under this oppressive government. Listen, you and I today, we may think that our government's oppressive, but it was nothing like the Roman government. It was nothing like it was in those days. You see, but you and I still are oppressed sometimes by an enemy. We have a great enemy. His name is Satan. He desires to keep me down. He desires to keep you down. He desires to get me distraught. He desires to get me upset. He desires to get me to a point where I want to quit. And I say, you know what? I don't want to be taxed anymore. I don't want to be any of this stuff. He does that still today to us. But listen, God's plan was going to happen. The line of David was not ruling the people. They was being ruled by descendants of Edom. Or by descendants of Esau. And you know, the Bible teaches, it says that God hated Esau. And that, listen, they had got to a point through this darkness that their enemy was completely ruling them. I want to ask you today, are you at a time in your history, in your spiritual history, where the enemy is ruling you? He's making decisions of what you do. He's ever waking moment that you have. You think about evil things. You're in these dark things. Are you at that same time in history that these people were in this time? And if you'll be honest with yourselves, there's times that you go through this same kind of darkness. You see, you are God's chosen people today. You are called out. Just as God chose Israel to be his people, God has chosen you. Yes, you had to say yes. I'm not teaching some kind of something else here this morning. I believe every man, child, boy, or girl gets an opportunity to come to the knowledge of God. But if you study your Bible, you will find that God must call you out. He must call you, the Spirit of God. The Bible says, impossibly saved, let the Spirit draws us. Listen, we are God's chosen people. God has chose us. And listen, he desires us not to be in darkness. And if we are in darkness, it's by our own doings. How many times do I get myself in darkness? How many times do you get yourself in darkness? These people had come into a dark place. We can be ruled by the enemy. We can. There's Christians today, I believe with all my heart, you say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. But I do. I believe there's Christians today who are ruled by this enemy. I believe they're ruled by this enemy. I believe they've got to a point in their spiritual life where they're so far away from God, they haven't heard from him in what seems like 400 years. They're ruled by this enemy. They're in a dark place. Listen, my friend, if you ever study very much, you'll find out that suicide is at an all-time high right now in our society. And you know why a lot of it is? A lot of it is because we are being ruled by the enemy, and it's dark times, and we cannot think, and we cannot see that there's any light on the horizon. Listen, if you're here this morning, you're going through that, I want to give you some good news. I don't care what you've gotten yourself into. I don't care if it's your fault or not, but what the bottom line of it is, this light is still there, this light's still present, and the light is coming. Hang on, it'll be here in a little while. Did y'all hear this week about a 35-year-old mother? In Colorado, meteorologist, beautiful woman, had a great family, had a husband, had a little boy that was 5 years old, had a daughter that was 3 years old, and she had eye surgery back a while back, a LASIK eye surgery, and something went wrong with it, and her vision had been impaired for just a little while, and she had distraught, she didn't know what to do, and she'd ask questions to everybody. She had videos, and her fans would give her advice about how long it took their eyes to get better, but for whatever reason, I guess she could not see light coming, and this young lady took her life the other day. Ended it. I don't know how. Don't need to know how. But listen, it's happening all over our land. I'm not just saying that this woman was in a dark place spiritually. I don't know her spiritual life, but something had gotten her where she thought the light was not coming. Listen, my friend, I want to tell you that if you'll hang on, the light is just around the corner. If you'll hang on, a better day is coming. And you may not can see it now. Listen, these people couldn't see it. When they had been in oppression for 400 years, and all this time, and Rome was in control, they could not ever see how anything would ever be better. But just think about when Christmas came that first morning, how that light shone about him. And all of a sudden, they said, you know what? Darkness is over. Yes, they had that thing all backwards. They thought he was going to be a literal king. They thought he was going to do away with the Roman power. And listen, what he does is he does away with the power the enemy has over us. We still can be oppressed by physical governments, but bless God, we can no longer be spiritually oppressed when Jesus comes in our life. He's coming. The light is coming. The people were in Rome, ruled by Rome. A light had been promised to them. I read to you, we're going to go back there, Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. I'm not going to read verse 1 again because it's hard words for me and I'm dumb. Verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Listen, this was about, I think, about 700 years before he came, this was prophesied. And I want you to listen at what this says. Thou hast multiplied the nation, not increased the joy. Joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. He was saying this light is coming, and the joy you're going to feel from this light is the same rejoicing you have when you go to your cornfield and you look out and that thing's just full of ears of corn. Or you go to your cotton field and it's just white, ready to harvest. Or you go to your watermelon patch and watermelons are everywhere. There's great joy in that time, in a time of harvest. Or for me and you today, it's when Friday comes and our boss hands us our paycheck. Is everybody ever in a bad mood after they get their paycheck? Maybe that's a bad analogy since we got all these taxes, but listen, when you first get that paycheck on Friday, it's a lot better than Monday. It says it's the same type of joy that the harvest are. Or it says, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. When they'd go into battle and they'd overcome an enemy, a lot of times they'd take all the spoil of the nations and they'd divide it up among each other. And boy, those soldiers look forward to that. That's what they fought for. That's what they was, a lot of what drove them was for that spoil they could get. Not only protecting their nation, but they knew something was coming at the end. The same type of joy. It says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For it'll be every battle the warrior is with confused noise and the garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Listen, he says, all those old bloody garments of warriors, and all of that he's overcoming. He's going to do away with all that stuff. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, a Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Listen, Christian, today, that verse right there is exactly who you have residing in you today. You have no reason to be in this darkness. You have the very Son of Light, which the Bible said was coming. And on that Christmas morning, some 2,000-something years ago, this light shone there. And you remember the story, oh, how I know we've added to it and made it sweeten it up a little bit for Christmas plays of how the wise men came to deny the birth and all this stuff. We know that it was years before that happened. But listen, it helps our mind to understand of where that great light come and it shone about the place of where Jesus was going to be born. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm ready to preach about that light. The light was promised. You see, he told him, he said, a great light's going to come. Have you ever thought about Christmas time? The time of year we're celebrating right now. It comes around about October the 20th, we begin putting up Christmas lights. That's getting earlier and earlier. It's not going to be long before we're going to have 4th of July with Christmas lights. We put Christmas lights everywhere and how beautiful it is. We'll even drive for miles. I was wanting to go to Callaway Gardens this weekend to take Ashton to see those lights. She'd never been down there. And boy, I was all gung-ho about it Friday. And I go in there at work and I sit on my computer and I pull up Callaway Gardens and it says $35 a person. All of a sudden, I wasn't so excited. I said, I ain't doing it. I'm not paying $35 a person to see these lights. Although they're beautiful, that's too much money. But that's another sermon. But listen, we spend great money to go see lights. We put them up. Our city of Heflin is beautiful. You drive through, man, there's lights everywhere. Our Christmas tree is probably more advanced than New York City's. We've got all kind of lights in this place. And we do this. And you know what we're representing? Many of us don't even think about it. But we're telling the lost world that because this time of the year, a great light has came. A great light has came. Now, let me ask you this. What if we put as great an effort into our spiritual life into showing the ones around us this light as we do decorating our homes, as we do decorating our cities? I tell you what would happen. There would be a lot of dark souls that would be changed today if we put the same effort. The light was promised. The light arrives in Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 through 11. Listen to this. The light arrives, saying, where is that? It is born King of the Jews, for I have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ shall be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when we have found him, bring him word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they saw this, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The light had arrived. Now scholars have, astronomy scholars have studied for years what that light could have been. My voice is about to go. I'm about to be like Abby. They've studied for years of what that star could have been. And as I studied this, I couldn't think about this but one thing. One writer said he believes with all his heart that this light that shone that night was the Shekinah glory of God, showing up on the scene because God the Son had come to earth. God the Son had come to earth. The light had arrived. You remember I told you it's impossible for God to be on the scene and his light not to be present. That star shone. Last year we went and saw a cartoon called The Star. I had to watch it again this year because I love that movie. If you remember in that manger scene, they came in and the star had been shining. And it was so bright that the poor old cow and horse couldn't even sleep. The star was so bright. I believe tonight when that star was shining, it was almost as it was daylight. What a great light had come to a dark land. The star had arrived. John 8, chapter 12, listen to this. It says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen, friend, because the light came that Christmas morning, you today can have this light of life. You today shall be the light of life. If there's any darkness at all in you, it's because you have allowed it. But God has arrived. The light has arrived, and all darkness has been expelled. Again, I want to tell you, it's impossible. It's impossible to have Jesus residing in you and be in darkness. I'm talking about a lifestyle of darkness. Now, I'm not talking about occasionally falling into sin. I'm talking about a dark life. It's impossible to have that because, remember, dark does not exist. Only the absence of light. And I got some more good news for you, and I'm going to close before I completely lose my voice. The light still remains. That light that came that first Christmas morning is still here. It's still available. It's still to us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That light that came and showed them where that sun was is still here on earth today. Where's it at? It's right here. 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 It's all over here. All of us are little bitty lights. Little bitty lights shining out. I read one time, if you was to be in a complete straight area where it was complete straightness, there was no hills, no valleys, a single candle can be saw for what I think is 5 miles. A single flame of a candle. Listen, if your life is being the light God's called it to be, there will not be any total darkness if you're around. There will be a glimmer of light shining before men that they may see the Father in you. As long as God's people remain on this earth, there will never, ever be darkness. Never be darkness. You got a great call. You got a great responsibility. Think about your home. There's no telling what kind of money goes into getting power to your home. If you think about the generating plant down there at Lakeweed, Iowa, where those turbines turn and electricity is produced, you think about the power lines that's put up, the men, the trucks, the equipment, the administration that goes into getting power to your home. Boy, boy, all of it's probably millions of dollars have went in to being having lights in your house. But you see, until you put a little bitty thing, which is about that long, into a socket and twist it, called a light bulb, which now you can buy the cheap ones probably for a quarter somewhere. You can't have light. All everything's there for it, but you've got to have that bulb connected. You got to have the connection right, then you got to have a switch on. It don't cost very much money either. But what I'm saying is the company's done all their part to get you power, but it's up to you to finish it up. That's what goes on in our spiritual life. God has provided everything for you to be a light. It's up to you today if you will hide it or you will make the connection to be a light to the dark world. Let me see if I can read you this poem and I'll be done. It was the night before Christmas and all through the earth. Every creature was stirring, awaiting a birth. The time for Messiah was certainly near. The prophets foretold it. The Bible was clear. From the book of beginnings, the very first sin, God's word made it clear how his grace entered in. Born of a virgin, he'd come as a man. The creator among us from the time was at hand. The stars were arranged to show marvelous things, setting wise men to journey and find the true king. Shepherds in Bethlehem gazed on the sky, longing to see him, their Lord the Most High. How could they know that the very next night, an angel of God would speak words of delight? How the Savior was born, it was news of great joy, in a cloth and a manger, and find the dear boy. And heavenly hosts would soon join to sing of the glory of God and of wonderful things. He entered creation and set position aside to show us how deeply his love did abide. Sin had sent us away from our almighty Lord. He became one of us that we might be restored. He's the Prince of our peace. He's the one who makes whole. He is wisdom incarnate, a shepherd of souls. He's the author of life. He's the ruler of all. He can offer salvation on his name we call. The shepherds and wise men would bow to adore. Holy God among men, our greatest reward. All glory and honor is due to this King. Let all join in worship. Let every tongue sing. Jesus is Lord, all creation proclaim. He's the first and last. He's always the same. History turned on the first Christmas day when God became a man in a humble display. As we think of the manger in which he was laid, let our hearts welcome him to the world he had made. The night before Christmas. As we stand this morning and the singers come forth, one, please stand. I want you to take this time for just a little bit to think about darkness. I want you to think about darkness. How many of us have got so accustomed to light? Have you ever been at home in the power? Last year when the snow came and our power went out, you know what I do? I catch myself going into a room and flipping a switch. Nothing comes on, and boy, I get so mad. I can't do anything in dark. I just can't stand the darkness. I go home and my kids want to watch TV in the dark. I don't know why they want to do that. I like to have light. I've always been amazed by light. I love flashlights. I don't know why. I just like flashlights. I like being able to go in the middle of a black night, turn on the light, and all of a sudden everything's illuminated. I like light. I enjoy light. Listen today, the true light has been given. If there's somebody under the sound of my voice who is in darkness, I want to give you some good news. The Son of God came that first Christmas morning to do away with that night that was before Christmas. He shined a light in your soul. If today, if you'll simply receive him, you no longer will be in darkness. The Bible teaches us that he came to give his life and give it for every single soul. There's not a person here that's ever done something so bad that God will not save you. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I bet you've never done nothing compared to Paul. I bet you've never done anything compared to David. I bet you've never done anything compared to all those who stoned them and that was forgiven. I bet you've never done any of that. You may have done some bad things, but you've never done anything too bad that God will not receive you. If today, if his Spirit is calling you to him, will you say yes? Will you say yes to the light of the world? Will you quit staying in darkness? You see, if you stay there, it's your fault. This costs you absolutely nothing. Will you receive Jesus today? This free gift is offered to you. There's not a one of us on Christmas Day will turn down a gift. You won't turn down a gift. You may act like you don't want it. You say, oh, you didn't have to do that. And in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I'm glad you did it. Will you accept this gift this morning? The gift of Jesus. Will you accept it? As we sing.